new week. Baruch Hashem, Abayim, everyone here, everyone out there. Excuse me. So once again, as I mentioned yesterday, most of the shir, I want to dedicate today's shir to Leilui Nishmas Menachem Mendel Ben David, Mr. Moskowitz, who very special, long-time member of the shul for many years, and his yahrzeit is today, Beis Nisan. So last time we were together, again, we're in Siman Lamed Beis, and page 83. So we're discussing about halachas of writing tefillin. So one of the important halachas that we learn now, again, there will be some overlap between the halachas that we're learning now with tefillin and also with Sifrei Torah Mezuzos. We'll learn a little later that some differences about what we write on for those three, and we'll see whether it applies today. But one of those halachas we learned last week before Shabbos and Dalet, and that is you can't have touching two letters touching each other. So again, here we're talking about tefillin, but again, it could be by mezuzah, so it could be in a Sefer Torah. And why is that? So an interesting reason. The reason is, the Machaber says, because of the rule that every single letter has to be mukaf gevil. Mukaf gevil. In other words, that each letter has to be encircled, encased in gevil, in empty, open parchment. Now again, as we discussed before, gevil is a type of parchment which we write on for Sifrei Torah, but again, we're just going to use that term. And therefore, since the two letters are touching, so at the point of touching, the two letters are not, each letter is not encircled with parchment because they're touching. So at the point of contact, they are not, that small part does not have empty space in it. So therefore, it's not mukaf gevil. Now, the same thing would apply, let's say, if you wrote a letter all the way at the end of a piece of parchment or all the way on the top, right? Let's say you wrote the very top line, you wanted, I don't know, conserve, and you wrote the very first line. Now, again, we'll talk about that a little later when we talk about sirtos, talk about lines. But let's say, just for argument's sake, that you wrote the first line of your tefillin all the way up against the top. So again, the same thing, the letter, each letter, the top of each letter, again, what we do about lamed, I don't know, but leaving that aside, but each letter, let's say a lamed, let's say there is a little room for all, but the lamed would go up and touch the top of the parchment. So again, that letter would be pasul because it's not encircled, even though it's not touching another letter. But again, the concept, the halacha, is the same. And that is that since it's not completely encircled with open, unwritten parchment or gvil, so therefore that would be pasul. Now again, here we're talking about tefillin, but the same thing applies by tefillin mezuzos and Sifrei Torah. So again, if you had a Sefer Torah, and they, let's say, again, we don't really see it, but again, today they write really small, little, do you have a little tiny?
Not probably, that small.
Huh?
Not that small.
Not 6 inches.
That.
24 inches? Like 24 inches.
I haven't measured it. It fits in an attache case. Oh,
cool.
Yeah.
So again, let's say, again, they make them even smaller today. Yeah. So now again, they won't do that. They won't write on the top line or even next to the top line because the lamed again will touch the tippy top. And that would probably be a problem of gvil. Then we talked about that the writing should be clear, the Rama says, and you shouldn't be missing even a kutso shel yud, right? So now you all know what that means, right? The point, the left point, not the right, obviously. But even smaller is the left point of the yud. And again, we also, the Rama says you should write, again, when he talks about gossip, thick letters, I don't know what that means, but in other words, he said, the Rama ended up that the letters should not be very thin, because for the obvious reason, because they're very apt to become puzzle, right? So you have to be careful. I don't know. Did you see those little tefillin? Did you ever see the parchments?
Yeah, they're not pretty. The script isn't pretty. You know, that's right. Not.
Right. But they're kosher.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, you would need a magnifier.
Well, that's what we were talking about last time. In other words, you could see, like, with regular mezuzahs.
Yes.
Right. There's certain mezuzahs that are $20, $30, $40 more expensive.
Written.
You could, even not a trained eye, could look at them and see there's a difference in. Yeah. How they're written, you know, how nicely they're written. Okay, one of those halachas again, which is close to my heart. Hey, tzarek sheyichtal b'yamino, you have to write, the sofer should write, or I was writing for that matter, should write with his right hand. Now the Mishnah Berurah in Yud Zayin says, de'ink derek siva b'smol. Because people don't write with their left hands. We'll talk about that. And the Mishnah Berurah says the same thing applies if you're fixing tefillin or, you know, whatever. So again, you should do it with the right hand. But he says, but if two letters are connected, so then you could separate them even with your left hand. Now, okay, so let's go back upstairs. Sarach l'shiyaktav b'yamino, afilu yimushol b'shtey yadav. Even if the sofer is ambidextrous, he should write with his right hand. Because of his small, and if he wrote with the left hand, again, either if he's a righty or even ambidextrous, psulim. They're no good. Now, the Mishnah Berurah says that if somebody is ambidextrous, that it could be that that some hold that it would still be kosher. But if a person's a righty and they wrote with the left, so then that's possible according to everybody. Okay. Now, v'im yashar limso. Acherim ksuvim b'yamin. Im yafshar limso acherim ksuvim b'yamin. And that would be puzzle if we cannot find other ones that are written with a righty. So in other words, b'dievet, there's nothing else, it'd be okay. V'yeter yad, right, this is what I want to get to. And a lefty, such as myself, small d'day, havakimin. My left is like everybody else's right. So in other words, when... I don't know, when I fix a Sefer Torah or whatever, I could obviously use my, well, it's not obvious. I could use my...
dominant?
Right. Your dominant. My left is like a right. Yeah.
That means it'd be puzzle if the Rav used his right hand?
Correct. If I use my right hand, it'd be no good. And that's what the Mishnah Berurah says. Al kein im kasa b'yamino, a puzzle, right? Right. So it's very interesting. The Mishnah Berurah brings down, I don't know, it doesn't say tshuva, but they say it's written from the Rav Nachum Azariah, that there was an actual case in Egypt that somebody took a quill with his mouth and wrote with it. Now, I assume that the writing was kosher, or else there wouldn't be anything to talk about. But the issue was, he wrote with his mouth. Like that. So you think only strange things happen today. So again, I never saw the tshuva, but I wonder if, you know, maybe the person was paralyzed or, you know, like, who knows? Or maybe he was just trying to show off. I don't know. And Rav Nachum Azariah said it's puzzle. Why? Because that's not called writing. That's not the way. In other words, the same idea as we say here: the ain derek siva bepeh luchuliyama. It's not the way to write with one's mouth. No.
So similar with the toes?
So very good. Right. And then he brings down from the Mishas Avram, in the name of the Geb Kushar, another poskim, that if you write with your foot, it's like writing with your left hand, assuming you're a righty, and that would be puzzle. So, so that's an interesting case. Okay, so let's go on to Vav. Now, again, just to introduce this, I'm sure you see in a Sefer Torah, there's lines. Now, obviously, you can figure the lines are for the obvious reason, so you write straight. But we have this in other things also, in a get also. He flips it over and writes this, uses some type of implement. But again, we'll talk about this. As you know, the lines in a Sefer Torah are not like lines in a piece of paper, right? They're not ink. The Sofer takes he has a tool, and he flips over the piece of paper and he makes lines. He uses a ruler, right? Let's say he has a piece of paper, again, he has it the right size, and he makes lines.
Yeah, it's called scoring.
Yeah, scoring sometimes could be an incision.
On paper, in art.
Yeah. Right. That's what it's called. But it's an indentation. Yeah. And he flips it over and then he writes it. Now we're going to get into that. But that's called sirtos. So Machaber says, Ein sarach lesartate. Ki im shita rishon elyona. By tefillin, you don't have to make. Now you see in Sefer Torah, there's lines all the way down. So he says, now we have to be careful with this. He says you don't have to make the sirtos, except for on the top line. So if you look at the Mishnah Berurah Chaf, Mishnah Berurah says the top line, mishum de tefillin ein aleha halacha lemoshe misinai lesarte kamo mezuzah. That by by tefillin, there's no halacha l'moshe misinai, like there is by mezuzah. You notice by mezuzahs, right? Also, by mezuzah, I don't know if you look, but I'm sure you would notice there are sirtos all the way down. So that's a halacha l'moshe misinai, that there has to be sirtos, there has to be the scoring all the way, every line, all the way down you have sirtos. So then the Mishmar says, "Rak mishum de osur lichtov shlosh tevos below sirtus." There's a halacha that you're not allowed to write three words of the Torah without sirtos. It's not considered proper. So it's very interesting. If you're writing a letter to somebody, again, leaving the Shema Sitra aside, but again, let's say you're writing three words and you're quoting a pasuk or you're using a pasuk, I don't know. Shema Yisrael Hashem. Well, I don't want to write Hashem's name. But whatever three words consecutively. So then again, you have an issue of not only is it possibly shameless, but also you're not allowed to write three words without making a sirta. Now again, that could be a problem, like if you're writing on stationery or nobody writes anymore, but except for Sofrim. But that's a halacha, that's one of the reasons why I want to get to this, besides that's what we're up to. But it's a halacha that a lot of people don't know. So therefore, over here the Mishmah says, Alkein, kishemisaret shita elyona dai. So over here, you're going to ask, by tefillin, you only have to do the top line. You don't have to do subsequent lines. But you're writing more than three words of, yeah. Right? You're continuing to write, which are words from the Torah. And so he says that, no, because the reason is because since you do score, make a sirta on the top line, so that's enough. Kistam b'nei Adam, yodim la'amein yodam lichto kol shitos yisharos achar shekasu shita al yona. So the halacha is because most people, once they start off straight, they'll keep on going straight. And therefore, it'll be straight. And therefore, you just have to do the top line with a sirta, with a score, and then you could keep on going without it. Now, I don't know, maybe I'm... When I write a letter to somebody, you know, like, I don't know, I'm all over the place. You know, I hate to say it, but sometimes you see, you know, it's interesting to read that something comes out with a sefer. So the custom is that they're right, even the Mishnah Berurah is, I mean, like, there's haskamas in the, right? So, like in the old days, they didn't have the handwriting of the, like, if you look at the, well, again, the first Chaylok Mishnah Berurah we have here. So the Chofetz Chaim had a number of haskamas, right? But all what you have is, it's actually interesting. I never noticed that. I know in yours, the haskamas are there, right? Why aren't they on mine? Oh, haskamas harabanim, it's here. Yeah, I have it. Right, so, yeah. So he has Rabbi Yitzchak Chan Spector, right, was one of the haskamas. Right, so they didn't see the copy of the letter, right? But now they do that, right? Sometimes they put the original copy in there. If you know, sometimes you can't read it, and they have it. But it's interesting. It's very fascinating to me. Some of these gedolim, their handwriting is like perfection. It's like unbelievable, straight line, even without a sirta. Again, they don't have to write sirtas because they don't normally quote three words in a, you know, from the Torah. They don't have to. But you could see that how they write it so beautiful, like it's so neat, and you know, it's really amazing. But once in a while, you see like it's a little, you know. But in general, and most of them, it's really amazing to me to read or to look at that how they write. I think Rav Brevda Zekatzalik said he spent a lot of time analyzing the writing of the Vilna Gaon. Yeah, like he wrote his Aleph like the Vilna Gaon, and
Tzadi was a special, special form they used in
Tzadi
motions instead of three or four or something like that, so he could do it faster.
What?
He made them in two motions instead of three or four, so he could write faster.
At Tzadi?
Tzadi Zofis, yeah.
Oh, an ending Tzadi. Oh, okay. Oh, that's interesting. Now I know it says Alice also he made, like the Vilna Gaon.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. Yeah, so anyways.
Which side of the cloth is the Koran?
Usually they flip side. It over.
So the opposite side?
Yeah. I don't know in Sifrei Torah if they do it that way.
So it's like it shows through?
I know by Gittin they flip it over.
It shows through the other side?
Yeah, because they have a blunt, it's not anything like this. This is too sharp. They have like a wooden. At least I always saw Rabbi Tesla, and others saw from that. That it's a blunt wood, a dull. That's the word I want. Wood thingy.
Like a point. Even.
It's not really a point. Like it's like edge, it's then. Yeah. It's and they take well forget they don't use parchment. They use heavy bond paper. That's a takana after the takvatat. No, believe it or not, they told me the reason why they used to do parchment, but after takvatat, after Khmelnytsky, there were so many gittin needed because there were so many attacks on Jewish women who were married to kohanim. They had to write a lot of gittin. And they didn't have enough cloth, so they made a takana. They use paper. Mm-hmm. Paper. So they use a blunt wooden thing. It doesn't have to be wooden. And they use a you know, a ruler, and they go across. And, like when I get there's 12 lines.
So.
Oh, and then and you can see it. Yeah, it goes too. Yeah.
Does it make bumps on the other side, or it's just clear?
It's a bump. It's a raised thing, and it's a line. And you can write.
Writing on the bumps.
They write. They use the as the top, right?
The
top. Okay, we have to stop here, Rav Osei, and we'll bring there. We'll pick this up tomorrow. Okay, Yeshu Kol Chach.